Thank you, Lord. We're going to learn that when we speak to the mountain, it has to move. Period. Period. We're going to learn it. And we're going to do it. Everybody say, enough is enough. When you consider things going on in this world, the only thing that needs to happen is for believers to open their mouths and speak in line with God's word, and the very atmosphere will change. Will change. Will change. So we'll not, I always know that God knows what he's doing. But we're going to recap the last five lessons. I'm going to give you one other fundamental. And then I'm going to open up the floor for some questions, because it's just too important. We have to get this. We have to get this. We have to understand the fundamentals and start operating in them. Period. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how boring it gets. We must grab hold of these fundamentals and put them to work. Forget about the trick plays. You need to think about it. Jesus told his disciples, tell your neighbor, that's us. He said, these signs shall follow. Not might follow. These signs shall follow who? Them that believe. And one of those signs was, you'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Period. If we understand that, why are we waiting for Super Saint to come to town? If we understand that, why are we grabbing our friends saying, well, let's come to church, maybe there'll be a move of the Spirit, and you'll get healed? No, he said, you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Period. So that means every single believer has a healing anointing. Yes, now that there are special gifts of healing. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. But Jesus wasn't talking about the special gifts. He was talking about your everyday going to work, going to school, being retired, whatever it is, everyday life. As you're going through all the world preaching the gospel, you come across someone that's sick, lay hands on them, they'll recover. Period. If we understand that and we're paying attention to that, then we're not waiting to see if I feel the healing anointing come on me. I don't know. Usually my hands get red or something. I don't know. You know. And you think, well, maybe it's not me. So maybe I'm just supposed to pray. No. He said, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And he said, if there are any sick among you, go to the elders. Notice he didn't say go to the pastor. He didn't say go to the evangelist. He said, go to the elders. And he said something else. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But understand what he said. Is there any sick among you? So for you to go to the elders, you have to admit, I'm sick. So is there any sick among you? Go to the elders. I'm not going to say I'm sick. I'm going to sit right here in the chair and die. He said, is there any sick among you? And we don't want to admit that we, so he didn't say if you have symptoms. We try and dress it up. We have to pay attention to what the word says and respond to it the way it says. You know why the disciples couldn't heal couldn't cast that demon out of that little boy? I'm all into it, Dan, as you probably know. You know why? They weren't paying attention, and they didn't understand that when Jesus gave them power, it was for everything. And he said to them, the Bible says he gave them power over unclean spirits. So why are they coming back excited because even the demons were subject to them? They were excited because they didn't expect it. And the reason they didn't expect it is because they didn't pay attention to what he was saying. They shouldn't have been excited. They should have been upset if they weren't subject to his name. But they came back. Woo, even the demons are subject to us in his name. Jesus is so cool. I would have said, isn't that what I said? But we have to start paying attention and understanding these fundamental truths. So we're going to go back, and I'm going to jog you through them. I'm not going to walk through them. We don't have that kind of time. But we're going to jog through them, and I'm going to give you one more. And then I'll open up the floor. But please understand, I'm opening up the floor for questions on the teaching, the fundamentals of speaking. I'm not opening up the floor to share, for you to share the word the Lord gave you this morning, last week, or a year ago. I'm not opening up the floor for you to come and repeat what I said in different translations. We want you to ask questions so that your understanding is full. Do we understand that?
Yes.
Okay. You know I've been talking about fundamentals ad nauseum, and I'm going to continue to do that probably every time I'm in front of you because that's the basis for everything that we do. You know, and I was thinking about the Karate Kid movies, you know, both the original and the remake. We're not going to talk about which one was better, you know, but if you notice, the principles in both of them were the same. You had this young man that wanted to learn karate. In the new movie, it was kung fu. But there were some fundamental movements and things that they didn't know. And the person training them was smart enough to know if he just told them to do it, they wouldn't do it. So he gave them other tasks to do so that they developed those fundamentals. First one is, all right, you know, wax on, wax off, you know. Up, but down, breathe in, breathe out. Always look, eye, always look. What were you telling me? Stay focused. And they didn't realize that they were developing fundamentals. You're walking through some things now and you're upset with God. You're wondering, why are you going through? You're developing some fundamentals. Stop fighting it and embrace it and walk through it. You don't have to like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like have to practice what I preach. But guess what I do like? I love the results. But God is going to have you walk through different things so that you can develop certain skills. How are you going to know that the same faith it takes to believe for $5 is all you need to believe for $1 million if you never have a financial need? God's going to create opportunities for you to develop, for you to get these fundamentals down pat, so no matter what comes, you're ready. No matter what comes. Why do you think he wants us ready no matter what comes? Because no matter what is coming, that's why. And he needs to make sure that we're ready. And he's allowing us to do these. Pastor Clinton, he told us, we paid attention. Deacon Philson, we talk about it all the time. He said, you need to get this stuff during peacetime. Because in the middle of the war, when bullets are flying at you, that's not the time to figure out which end of the gun you point. Okay. You wind up blowing your own head off. Okay. But Jesus said, turn to Mark 11. because there are some fundamentals in there, and then he gave me some others that aren't in those scriptures, but we're going to talk about, or we're going to touch on all of them. If you want to know in detail fundamentals of speaking, part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and listen to it, and you'll get them. But in the King James, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Period. That's what he said, and that's what he meant. We have to understand what he was saying to us. He said, have faith in God. So he's telling us before we even open our mouth, before we even believe anything, we have to have faith in God. Hearing God, it needs to mean something to you. I've told you briefly about this gentleman that I roomed with in the hospital named Bruce. God had me send him a book. I sent it to him. He started reading it, even though he didn't have his reading glasses. He said, "When I get my reading glasses, I'm not going to put this book down." And he said, "I decided," right? He still hasn't made the choice to receive Jesus Christ. He still has questions. He's still searching, but he's got a tender heart. From what he read in the book, he said, "Adam was really disrespectful to God." He said, "Anytime I say God, I'm going to say Lord God." You know, and of course, you know, I wanted to tell him what, if we said that, what it meant, but God was like, "No, don't say anything." So guess what? I didn't say anything. But he said, from what he read, "I'm going to start referring to God as Lord God." Okay, God is developing some meaning to him. He's gaining some insight that's meaningful. So when he hears God, it means something to him. To the point where he knows automatically, I have to reverence God. Even though I'm not sure he's there, I have to reverence him. Jesus was telling us, have faith in God. That has to mean something. Someone comes, he says, "My God shall supply all your need," and you don't know anything about my God. You say, right. You know, that and 15 cents used to get me on the subway. Come back here. Think about the first three words of Philippians 4. "But my God." No matter what's going on, our thought needs to be, "But my God." "My God. My, I don't care what's happening. My God said. My God will. My God won't allow." Period. And it has to be meaningful. That's a fundamental. God has to mean something to you. If it doesn't, you could speak from now until Jesus comes, and that mountain will stay there laughing at you. What? Because you haven't established a relationship with God. So when you hear God, it doesn't mean anything, or it doesn't mean enough. You have to know to the point that you will act on it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to who? God, must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I came across a translation called the Jordan Translation. Listen to this. "Without living by the unseen, it is impossible to get such approval. For anyone who is serious about the God life," listen to this part, "must stake everything on the fact that God is." Must stake everything on the fact, you could say, or the truth that God is, and that he amply rewards those who make him their quest. That means those who just go after him. He's going to reward you. But you have to lay it all on the line. Period. It's God or nothing. No plan A, no plan B, just plan God. The second fundamental we called out of there was you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is that important? Well, he's the one that's telling us this. He said, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. If that doesn't mean anything to you, if you don't believe Jesus is, you're not going to care what he says. Because it won't mean anything. Well, I can say that. Just because I say it doesn't make it so. So you have to have a knowledge. You have to have a reference. You have to have a relationship. And that relationship needs to be so strong that you know Jesus will. Because he said so. And that's all we need to know. And what did Jesus say? Okay, he said, in this world you will have tribulations. Okay, well, I got him. But he said, I'm telling you this so you'll have peace. Oh, so I should be peaceful throughout this. But he said, I've overcome the world. He said, I've taken away its power to harm you. So now I don't have a worry in the world. Why? Because Jesus said, and I believe that. And I know that everything he says is backed up by God, whom I believe in and have a relationship with. So I have the two of them right there supporting me. Why am I caring about what I have to go through? Why am I caring what rears up? I open when it rears up, I open my mouth and I tell it where to go. It's that simple. I had a saying when I was younger and unsaved that I used to tell people where to go, how to go, and what to do when they got there. And that's you just tell them where to go. What they do when they get there is up to them. Okay. But you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. In Matthew 16, and we know this verse, these verses, 13 to 18, King James. They were in Caesarea Philippi on the coast, and Jesus asked his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He said, okay, who do you say I am? And the only one that answered was Peter. So obviously no one else knew. Because they all knew, they would all said, you're the Christ. But they didn't know. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation that God just gave you, I will build my church. We need to pay attention to that. We need to understand that. Because Jesus said on our revelation that he is the Christ, he's building the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon our revelation that he's the Christ, stops the gates of hell from prevailing against us. Do you understand that? On our revelation that Jesus is the Christ. So when situations happen and you have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that revelation should kick in. And worry goes right out of your spirit. Those thoughts go right out of your head. Why? Because you know Jesus is the Christ. And on that knowing, he built the church. And the gates of hell can't prevail against it. I'm the church. So the gates of hell can't prevail against me. Didn't say the gates of hell won't attack you. Said it won't prevail. There's a difference between the two. See, and we need to understand that, because we get bent out of shape because we get attacked. We forget that we prevail. Yes, attacks are uncomfortable. Prevailing's not. Prevailing feels good. But we have to know that. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the, oh, this is the Amplified Bible, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So let's just think about that for a moment. You don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but you believe God is. How are you going to get to him? How are you going to get to him? Nobody gets to the Father. That means you can't even get anything the Father has unless you go through the Christ. So we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You need to understand this, folks. Truth does not require your belief to be truth. Okay. Truth is going to be truth whether you believe it or not. So you might as well choose to believe it, because that's the way it's going to be. Period. Say, truth is not dependent on my belief to be truth. Truth is truth whether I believe it or not. See, so if you want the mountain to move, you better believe in the truth. The third thing we called out is that you have to speak to the mountain. We have an outstanding characteristic. Wrong, but outstanding. We're very good. We're exceptionally good speaking about the mountain. We got that down. But the word doesn't say speak about. It says speak to the mountain. And it doesn't say get very technical with it. See, when God wanted to recreate the earth, the Bible tells us that the earth was without form and void, empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God didn't go, okay, now darkness, I rebuke you in my name and you leave. Okay, void, you know, you go get some shape to you. He didn't do that. He said what he wanted. Light be. And I think he said that for our benefit, because he could have just stood back and said, earth, recreate. And it would have just recreated. But he did it that way for our benefit, so that we could see we have to speak what we desire to happen and stop concerning ourselves with all the little details about it. Because think about it. You don't know all the details about it. You have a cough. You say, okay, I speak to this congestion. How do you know that's what's causing the cough? I mean, I watched a program where this person did everything that he could, and the person died anyway, and he was so distraught he went to the autopsy because he wanted to find out if he missed anything. The person doing the autopsy said, there's no reason for this. He said, what do you mean? He said, it just happened. He said, but what can I do about it? He said, nothing. Nothing. We don't know why things are happening. We don't know what put things in motion. And quite frankly, why do we care? We just want it to stop. That's what we want. We all, where did it come from? Well, technically, we already know. Because we only have to ask ourselves one question. Is this a good and perfect gift? If that answer is no, we know where it came from. What else is there to know? What else is there to think about, folks? All you need to think about is, How did God say this should be? And call that into existence. And whatever has to be done to bring it into existence will be done. That's why God said, I'm giving you the mall as a spoil. He didn't say Sears is going to have to go out of business for me to do this. He didn't say that. So we're looking at that, and you get encouraged by it, but God didn't say that. He said he was giving it to us. So it doesn't matter if Sears closes all its stores or not. When God is ready for us to have the building, guess what? We're going to have the building. All we need to do is call in the building. Whatever has to happen in the background, whatever has to happen in the spirit realm, that's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to call it in, like he said. And that's all we have to do. That's it. When you're speaking over your body and you speak health to your body, every part of your body has to do what it has to do so that the body has health. Period. Because we don't know what's going on. You know, my knee is aching. I don't know what's causing it. One doctor might say this, one doctor might say that, and everybody has a different solution. You know, take this injection, take this shot, put on these compresses, lose 15 pounds. We'll do all of these things, okay? I've taken the shots and the injections, and I lost more than 15 pounds. It still hurts sometimes. So I start calling my body to be whole. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and is quickening my body. And I'm going to be walking around doing what he told me to do, and I'm going to notice that it's no longer bothering me. I mean, that's the way we go. You say it, and you go on about your business. The key is that we're being about our Father's business, and he has an obligation to keep us. So we have to speak to the mountain, not about the mountain. God's nature was to speak. And the Message Bible says, in Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make human beings in our image and make them reflecting our nature. So if God's nature is to speak to things and we reflect that nature, guess what we should be doing? Speaking to things. Do you see that? I hope so. I mean, even when God wanted to bless folks, says he blessed them saying. He didn't do things. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Whatever had to happen for them to be fruitful and multiply had to happen. And it's because the earth was to be replenished. See, God spoke and things happened. And just like that song, when we call out his name, the very atmosphere has to change. So stop wasting time talking about every component you can think of of the problem. And just speak the victory and leave it alone. The fourth thing we got from that is that you must believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. In Matthew 12, in the Message Bible, somewhere around verse 35, it says it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. It's your heart. So you could say, oh, God bless you. Or you could say, God bless you. You know the difference. One is just it's acceptable profanity. Okay. Because that's what's in your heart. Words are important. Speaking words are important. But what you believe in your heart about the words that you've spoken is what's the most important. What you believe in your heart will determine the true meaning of what you said. And it has nothing to do with intent. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe it, then you need to be honest with God and tell him, I don't believe this. I need some help. And he'll help you. I mean, that's why he's there. You won't be able to accomplish a thing if what you say in your mouth is not the result of you believing what God said. If you want to accomplish it, your mouth has to get in, your heart needs to line up with what God said, period, or what Jesus told us God said. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. The fifth thing we found out is that you have to know, K-N-O-W, that you will have what you say. You have to know that. The example that God gave us was with Jesus and Lazarus. When Jesus said, according to one translation, Jesus said, the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. That's what he said. Well, the minute he said that, circumstances started coming. And you need to understand that when you open your mouth and speak God's word, the enemy is going to send indisputable evidence that what you said makes no sense. Because he wants you to back away from the word that you've spoken. He wants you to take it back so you won't have it. And you have to stay. I'm telling you, I was in Allen Pavilion, right? That's what it was. And I'm sitting there, and I said, I am not backing away from the words that I've spoken. I'm not separating myself from those. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I felt like I wanted to roll up in a ball and just start crying, why, God, why? But I realized that wasn't going to do anything except make matters worse. I'm not backing away. God, you spoke some things concerning me and my wife. You spoke some things concerning me. They ain't happened yet. And almost a year ago, when they found blood clots in my lungs, I didn't back away then. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. Now, you might have, you will. But according to the Amplified Bible, he says he's taken away their power to harm me. And I told the doctor, you could say in this world you might have blood clots. Okay. Don't be concerned. Jesus has overcome them and he's taken away their power to harm me. And that doesn't mean I go out and do something stupid. No, God was very specific. He said, listen to what they tell you. Because he arranged where all this was going to happen. Had to go all the way to Lancaster for this to happen. I'm like, God, I don't know what it is about the folks that were around here, not meaning around here, but in this area, he wanted me in Lancaster. And so that's where we were. So we had to be obedient to go. First of all, I don't know what would happen had we not gone to Lancaster, because God sends his provisions for you to a certain place, and then he tells you to go. Mark 11:23 in the Johnson translation says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent, you know what that means? What does congruent mean? It's in line with. Okay? When your expression is in line with your inner being, when what you say lines up with what you believe in your heart, your desire will be actualized. But what you say has to line up with what you believe in your heart, not in your head. But understand, folks, the enemy is going to give you scientific evidence that what God said is not so. So with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed. Well, they're going to show you an x-ray that shows a spot on your lungs. Don't be silly and deny the spot. It's there. In this world, you might get a spot. Jesus has already overcome it. He's taken away its power to harm you. All you have to do is find out how God wants you to handle it. And then do what he says. And keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then the same people that said there's a spot will tell you there's no spot. Folks, let me tell you something. In 2012, I was in the emergency room 13 times by ambulance because of blood pressure. When I left the hospital, it was before our first family day up at the village. And when I left the hospital, I was on 7 blood pressure medications. 7. And I didn't think it was God's perfect number. Okay. Okay. 6 weeks ago, I was on 4. Now I'm on a half dose of 1. Throughout all of this stuff, I'm on a half dose of 1. Of 1. I haven't seen consistently numbers in this range for 25 years. What changed? My understanding. What caused the change? Studying to teach these lessons the last 2 years. I didn't know it, but he was doing the work in me. And it's showing up in my body. And you know something? I don't have a problem with that. Remember, Jesus told us that so that we would have peace. Some translations say we would have perfect peace. So when the devil comes with his indisputable proof that God's word is not so, you can stay in perfect peace. You understand? Okay. I told you about Lazarus. That's so far ahead. Okay. Then we get over to Matthew 17, which is the account of the disciples encountering the demon-possessed boy, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down. The boy's father comes to him and says, you know, please help me. We took him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. And Jesus said, what a generation. Now, he wasn't talking about the man. He was talking about his disciples, okay? He said, what a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How much longer do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. And they brought the boy. He ordered the demon out, and the demon left. And the disciples came to him later and said, well, why couldn't we do that? Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. That's what he told them. He said, the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, so what he was telling them was, you don't have any faith. Because he said, the simple truth is, if you had even a kernel of faith, you would tell this mountain to move and it would move and there wouldn't be anything you wouldn't be able to tackle. But they didn't even have a mere kernel of faith, which means they had none. They weren't paying attention. They had cast out demons before. Remember, they came back excited. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. So what, did they not use his name? I don't know, and the Bible's not saying. All that matters to me about that exchange is that Jesus told them you didn't have any faith. And he told them the reason they didn't have any faith is because they were not taking God seriously. And if we don't speak to the mountain and expect that mountain to move, the fundamental is we better start taking God seriously. Because let me tell you something. The demons know if you're serious or not. Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's some demons out there that just like some believers that you know didn't study to show themselves approved. And they will run, just like the seven sons of Sceva. They encountered demons that didn't know, and then they came across one that did. I mean, but they weren't fundamentally sound. They didn't know how to, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And what did the demon tell him? He said, I know Jesus. I heard about Paul. I know what he's capable of. Who do you think you are? Okay. And one demon beat the clothes off of seven men. One. But we need to understand that there are three things we have to understand if we're going to be taking God seriously. And Jesus said that, you know, in that passage. We have to have a sense of God. We always have to feel like we're in his presence. We have to sense him in everything that we do. We have to. See, sense means any faculties of sight, hearing, smell, taste, or touch by which humans and animals perceive stimuli from outside or inside the body. That's what a sense is. We have to feel God outside and inside our bodies. We have to feel God all around us. Our attitude, we have to have the same attitude Moses did. If your presence isn't going, I ain't going either. I mean, that's just the way it is, God. We need to feel his presence. Because see, when you feel God's presence, something happens to you. I'll tell you something. A good portion of the things that you do or the things that you've said, you wouldn't have done or you wouldn't have said had you sensed God's presence with you. But God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. No, but you can let other things come in and cloud it that you don't sense him. And if you don't sense it, come on now. It's no different than when we were children and we would do things figuring our parents wouldn't find out because they weren't there. We didn't know they had eyes called neighbors. Those were the drones then. You know, they were. But the other thing he said to them, he said, there's no focus to your life. So if we're going to speak to the mountain, expect the mountain to move, there needs to be a Christ-centered focus to our lives. I mean, God told us that way back in Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night, observing to do all that's written. Not some. All of it. Why? It will bring focus to your life if you do that. Because in any situation, the first thing that's going to come into your thinking, what did God say? And you're not going to conceive and consider the other thoughts that are going to try and come and edge God out. You have to develop focus. It's like in The Karate Kid. He said, Daniel-san, must have focus. You know, you got to be focused. There's a reason. You ever stop to think why the military takes people away for 6 to 8 weeks? They take them away from everything. Romans 12, away from all that will distract. Okay, that's what they do. And they train you. And then they tell you when you can go back into society. And for how long? That's what it is. Because if they didn't do that, you'd go out on the battlefield and die. So, yeah, God isn't going to come to your house and, you know, blow a whistle and make you get up at 5 a.m., you know, to get on the parade grounds for drill instructions. But you're going to have to take the time to study to show yourself approved. Knowing how to rightly divide the word. Because if you don't know how to rightly divide the word, you'll get off in the spookiness. And you're going to cause trouble for you and someone else. The last thing we need to understand that if we're going to be taking God seriously And I touched on it in the beginning. We have to pay attention. See, he said to him, how many times do I have to go over this? Obviously, they were not paying attention. Because that means he had to say it over and over and over and over. Why? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you believe that God is God, why do they have to keep telling us over and over and over and over? Why don't we listen the first time? That's why I said it's so important that we get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Because if I believe Jesus is the Christ, there's some things I just won't do. There's some things I just won't say. Because how could I do this? How could I say this if I'm a child of God and Jesus is my Lord and I believe he's the Christ? Well, he certainly didn't tell me to do that or to say that. So if he's my Lord, why am I doing it? I'm doing it because I don't really believe he's my Lord. It just sounds like something spiritual that you say. No, it's got to be more than that, folks. It has to be more than that. We have to pay attention to everything God has told us. Do you understand? Okay. See, I did a study some time ago, and I wanted to find out why people failed. And then the number one reason people failed was because of not paying attention. And the number two reason was a result of the number one reason. Because they were not paying attention, they were not following instructions. So they failed. I mean, that's what it is. How many of you have seen that little exercise where they give you a quiz and there's some instructions, and the first instruction says, read all of the questions. How many of you got the test sheet and just started answering the questions? Only to get down to the end where it says, after you've read this, just turn the sheet over and fold your hands at the desk. Okay. Meanwhile, you've answered every question on the sheet. You're like, well, I aced this. No, you just failed. Okay. Why? We didn't pay attention. And not only pay attention, but pay attention to detail. Because that's a detail. We saw it. Answer the questions. Read, but we've got to read all of the questions before answering. We didn't do that. We weren't paying attention. In Mark 4, in the New Living Bible, it says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. How many of you have ears? Okay. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they understand they have will be taken away from them. Let me read this again and substitute pay attention. Okay. Anyone with ears to hear should pay attention. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you pay attention, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. To those who pay attention to my teaching, more understanding will be given. For those who do not pay attention, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. We got to pay attention, folks. And we got to pay attention to detail. And I'm going to give you one more. This one underscores all of the rest. I was thinking, God brought this into my thinking last night. Because I was asking myself, okay, Lord, you know, we're scheduled for tomorrow night. What do you want to say? 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 16, I'm in the Living Bible. It says, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, helps us do what is right. It is God's way. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." The last fundamental we have to understand and master is that the Bible is true. Period. The Bible is the infallible written word of God. Period. Period. Everything stems from that. Everything. It says right here, it's God's way of making us well prepared at every point. Every point. We need to understand that. And since we know that that's God's way of getting us prepared for everything at every point, maybe we need to get to find out everything it says and what it really means. See, when you start looking at the Bible to find out what things really mean, first thing you're going to notice is that it's going to run crosswise with some things we've been taught over the years. Because you're not going to see interpretations anymore. You're going to get revelation as to what God is saying right now. I don't know why he said whatever he said whenever. I only know what he's saying right now. I only know what he's showing me right now. There are things that we need to know. The Bible was never designed, I don't believe, that God wrote the Bible to limit us. I don't. I believe he wrote the Bible to let us know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, period. Period. And you start finding the difference between truth and interpretation. I look for truth. And I am, well, I was like everyone else. Get ready to study. I have two stacks of books, and I'm looking at this one and looking at that one. For the first church school class I taught, after the class, I went up to Pastor Sarah, you know, because you always look for approval from your parents. You know. And she said, that was really a good lesson. She said, but I need to tell you something. I said, what's that, Mom? She said, I don't ever want to ever hear you quoting from any book other than the Bible. I'm looking at her. I'm like, but Pastor Clinton does it. You do it. She said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this is what God is telling me. You get the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you find out what God says about the scripture, and that's what you teach. And that's all I do. I look, all right, God, what am I looking at? And he'll say, read it in other translations. And I go there and I look at all these translations and I'm like, tell you, fundamentals are boring. It takes a long time. But then it interferes with my wife's rest because I'll be running upstairs, honey, look at what God just showed me. You know. Say, I used to think this and this is what this, but this is what it's saying. Well, that's what he does for me. You know, and please, Pastor Carr said, don't read anybody else's books. That's what he told me. Why he told me, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he knows because I'll say it. I don't know. But I'm telling you, folks, we have to get down these fundamentals down pat. Myself, I'm not standing in front of you acting like I got all the fundamentals down pat. No, I'm learning also. I have to review them also. I have to look for them also, just like I did playing sports. I didn't care what was going on in the game. I broke it down to a fundamental. You know this, Rob. It wasn't 5-on-5. You broke it down to a two-man game. That's what you did. You know, playing football, you want to get the guy isolated. the simple things that you do. But you have to practice them. So if you're going, how many of you want the mountain to move when you speak to it? Shout amen if you do. Okay, then you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then you're going to have to speak to the mountain. And you're going to have to believe, you're going to have to believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. You have to know, not think. You have to know that you will have whatsoever you say. Period. And that's the way you want to approach it. And you have to take God seriously. So that means you have to have a sense of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to have live a Christ-centered life. There has to be a Christ-centered focus to your lives, and you have to pay attention to everything God has said and written. Whether he said it to you through the Holy Ghost or whether he had Jesus tell us, or he wrote it, whatever, however he got the word to us, we're going to have to pay attention to it, and we're going to have to believe that the Bible is true. Period. You know, folks say, I don't believe that because it was written by man. So is that cookbook you've been using. That was written by man. I don't see you questioning that. How many people believe George Washington was the first president of the United States? Only two, three? It's not a trick question. How many of you believe George Washington was the first president? Why do you believe that? You read it in a history book and you believed it. You didn't write on that test, this book was written by man. If you did, at the top of that page, you'll see zero, written by me. Okay. No, you decide. I mean, when I was talking to that young man in the hospital, he said to me, he said, look, he said, Pastor, he said, the Bible was written by man. He said, it was a history book written by man. I said, well, let's run with that. And he looked at me. I said, so you believe the Bible is a history book? Yes. Have you read any other history books? Yes. Did you believe them? Silence. I said, I agree with you. It's a history book. It tells about history, but also tells about the future. So it tells about the history, it tells about now, it tells about the future. And you need to believe it just like you believed all the other history books you've read. You tell me all these things that you read about Malcolm X and all these other, you know, black activists. You believe that? They were written by men. I mean, you have to believe that the Bible is true. Amen? Those are the seven fundamentals that God wanted me to share with you for speaking to your mountain. You master those fundamentals, every time you speak to the mountain is moving. Period. It's moving.